Okay, we are plugged in and ready to go, and it's Saturday the 12th of May 2018. You're listening to the Kraz Files podcast with Adam, and as usual, everything goes over on my website, krazfiles.com. So lots to check out, lots of great articles and videos, and podcasts will go over to iTunes as well. For those who get it there, and also social media, I put it up on Facebook. So the Facebook page is the Kraz Files at over at Facebook, and also Twitter. And there's a YouTube channel as well. And check out opensourcetruth.com, our other great website. And we're ready to go today. But also send any articles if you'd like to write them. That's for the public, to the krazfiles at mail.com, and we can publish them. Send any links or anything you would like. They go right up on there and on the top of the page. So it's a good way to get people involved. So the krazfiles at mail.com. And investigative reporter John Rappaport is in the chair with me again today. Good to have you back, John.
Great to be here.
Busy man you are. Always a lot to go through, mainly on a medical standpoint. I guess we kind of go over and over it, but we have to just keep talking about all the stuff going on in regards to our health and vaccinations and all this, especially in Australia. But I've been putting up your latest articles, and I also say for our listeners, all your latest articles go up on krazfiles.com for people to read. So they're very, very popular as always. And we could start off, I guess, with your great show the other day with Mike Adams over there at InfoWars. It's a great show. You were talking about CDC corruption. So a lot of happening there. And I thought we'd start off there and kind of go through a little timeline of basically what you were saying with Mike on InfoWars, because being in Australia here, it helps a lot of people with this information, because I know our government, with their vaccination handbooks and vaccination information that gets popped out to the public and through the websites, comes from CDC. You know, when you ask any questions, you get directed to CDC information in regards to vaccines, and all the vaccine pushers and vaccination cult members and trolls, you know, they're all constantly going back and back and back to CDC information, you know, World Health Organization and these kinds of things. But it's CDC, John, information we're getting, and parents are getting for their kids, whether they want to vaccinate or not, and the flu shot and everything. And so this kind of interviews that you do like that, I just don't see around a lot. You know, you see a lot of interviews with all sorts of things regarding our health and even vaccinations or whatever it is, but with this kind of CDC information and these people dying or disappearing and all this crazy stuff happening around this place, and all the information leaking out to the public and being shared by alternative media. We're not seeing it, of course, in our media in Australia. It's a total blackout. But this is kind of incredible stuff, indeed. So why don't we talk about that a little bit? Because you're in the US, you know a lot about this. Give us a little timeline of this CDC and what you're seeing over there. Are you starting to see some big cracks appear with the Thompson information and Vax and everything since Vax came out?
I think so. I don't think Mike Adams and I were able to cover this one issue about Julie Gerberding when we spoke.
That's someone.
But she was the head of the CDC, I believe, from 2002 to 2009. Anyway, she left in 2009. And many of your listeners know about William Thompson. He is a longtime researcher at the CDC, Centers for Disease Control. And this is not just, you know, a minor employee. This is a major guy. And he's published or co-authored many papers, journal papers, out of the CDC about vaccines. So in the year of 2014, in August, he put up a written confession on his lawyer's website. Rick Morgan was his lawyer, a whistleblower lawyer in the United States. And Thompson confessed in print that he and his colleagues had changed the data in a study that they did on the MMR vaccine, measles, mumps, rubella. And they changed it in a way to give the impression that it had no connection to autism, when in fact, there was data that it did. And this data was particularly relevant in small African American children. They omitted that data. They violated the protocol of the study, which is fraud, and it becomes a federal crime because they're a federal agency funded by the government, meaning the taxpayer. So this was a really big deal. And yet, there were just scattered stories about it in American mainstream media. And then everything just went dark, as if nothing had ever happened. So the film Vaxxed, which showed around the world, of course, we've discussed what happened to it when it came to Australia, was all about William Thompson and that study and what happened, and phone calls that he had with Brian Hooker, a PhD who has a child that's autistic. And Hooker is a statistician. And essentially, in these taped phone calls that came out prior to Thompson's confession, Thompson was admitting that there was corruption at the CDC and that they cooked the study and that he felt very guilty about doing it and the harm that he caused to children and their families because he had purposefully omitted vital data from the study, which was published in 2004 in a journal, 10 years before he confessed. That's what the film Vaxxed was all about. Now, where Julie Gerberding comes in as the head of the CDC during this period is that apparently Thompson, William Thompson, the researcher, got in touch with her at one point and said essentially that he had very troubling data about the MMR vaccine. And that at an upcoming conference, he was due to speak and, you know, the implication was there's going to be a storm if I present my data. As far as we know, Gerberding never got back to Thompson about this. But from everything that I've learned, his appearance at that conference was canceled. So he had no opportunity in and around 2004 to present his data publicly. Then the data were cooked, the study came out, and it didn't seem to show there was any problem with the MMR vaccine. 5 years or so later, when Julie Gerberding left the CDC, she took up a key position at Merck Pharmaceuticals as the head of their vaccine division. And Merck manufactures the MMR vaccine. Now that's a story. That's a foundation for an investigative story that has legs, as they say in the business, and that would keep on delivering the goods the further and the deeper the investigation would go. If some major media outlet assigned reporters to dig into this whole story about Thompson, the fraudulent study, Gerberding, Merck, the MMR vaccine, a foundation was laid for an investigation, a very important, say the least, investigation. But it never happened. Nothing surfaced in major media about Gerberding and her connection to Thompson and the fact that she appeared to go along with the whole fraud, exonerating the MMR vaccine, and then later took up a position with Merck Pharmaceuticals, head of the vaccine division, where they make the vaccine. Nothing like this in any way appeared in the mainstream press. And yet, if you were to substitute other names, other organizations, and a subject other than vaccines, but with the fundamentals that I've laid out here, this could have been a major investigation by a media outlet that they would have undertaken. But when it comes to pharmaceuticals, medical stories, scandals of that nature, vaccines especially, they back off. They don't do anything. And so independent reporters like me have been getting the word out for a very long time. I published my first article about Gerberding and William Thompson. It must have been in 2014. That's, you know, 3.5, getting on to 4 years ago. People have to be aware of this, and they have to share the information among themselves, just the way they would send somebody a link to a New York Times or major Australian television show to their friends. The day is over when you can rely on the word getting out and you do nothing. You send the links, you maybe a short summary telling your friends and people on your email list that this is very important, they should know this. This was a phenomenal scandal that was swept under the carpet. And Julie Gerberding, who got some kind of an award, Woman of the Year, blah, 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 has skated, as we say. Nothing has happened to her. Nothing has besmirched her reputation whatsoever. Whatsoever. I'll add one more little piece to the story. Thompson, the CDC researcher, actually described the way that uncomfortable data were disposed of. He said that he and his colleagues who were working on this study sat in a room and brought in a large garbage can and threw away into the can the sheets of data that would have shown that there was a connection between the MMR vaccine and autism. Now, what else do you want to know? Now, of course, the CDC denies this, but so what? Where is the congressional hearing that would normally follow revelations of this kind? There's a congressman in Florida, not sure if he's still in office, Bill Posey, who was made a connection with William Thompson, and Thompson sent him many, many pages of information. Posey tried to get a hearing, a congressional hearing, mounted, but it failed. it absolutely failed. That's another part of the story. Why wasn't there a hearing, a public hearing, where Thompson would be brought in and put under oath and asked many questions? Thompson himself said, after he made his August 2014 confession, that he would not talk to reporters, but that he would be willing to cooperate with Congress in any investigation that they might undertake. In other words, he would be subpoenaed, he would step up, he would be put under oath, and he would be questioned in great detail about what he did and what his colleagues did. And his colleagues on that study, by the way, are now major executives at the CDC. They're not just simply researchers, Colleen Boyle and Frank DiStefano. So they would be brought in as well. And there would be a force for covering the story, letting the public know what's happening. And there would be lawsuits against the CDC, maybe even against Congress, if they refused to take action against the Department of Justice, who's supposed to involve themselves in criminal prosecutions, from parents of children who were vaccine damaged by the MMR vaccine after 2004. So a tremendous hurricane could have developed here, but it was squelched, completely squelched. And so now you begin to get a picture of the CDC and what they're up to. So that's something that everybody should be aware of.
Yeah, you're just offering a small timeline as well. It's amazing. And she was Dr. Julie Gerberding is Healthcare Businesswoman's Association's 2018 Woman of the Year award. So she, as you said, was director of the CDC from 2002 to 2009 and approved Gardasil vaccine before resigning and going to work for Merck, as you said. So that's it's just they're all in it together. It's just amazing. And those stories that came out, John, I kept them and put them up as you did, and only a few people in the alternative media put them up, but I thought, at least in America, that was going to, as you say, be a bombshell. And there was also the one, Health Impact News, really good site I go to. Former CDC director Julie Gerberding sells 38,368 shares of Merck stock for $2.3 million. And it's an interesting article because it talks about when she came into the CDC from 2002 to 2009, which includes the years the FDA approved the Merck Gardasil vaccine, of course. She completely, or reportedly completely, overhauled the agency's organizational structure. And many of the CDC's senior scientists and leaders either left or announced plans to leave. Some have claimed that almost all of the replacements Julie Gerberding appointed had ties to the vaccine industry. That's absolutely incredible, John. And as you said, not a murmur from the media, not even a mention that this actually happened. And it's also saying that says here, now the executive vice president of pharmaceutical giant Merck sold 38,368 of the shares in Merck stock for $2,340,000 or so. She still holds 31,985 shares of the company's stock after retirement, valued at around $2 million. And this is amazing. Amazing information that you were talking about should have blown up, but it's being it's been put back under the carpet and squashed. I mean, that's power, isn't it? That's incredible. Why aren't we seeing the end of this? Why isn't she being prosecuted? This is amazing. It shows you how much power these pharmaceutical companies really have. What do you think? I'm wondering why Trump or other people in the American government haven't at least brought this back out into the light and said something. Instead, you have people disappearing. It's just frightening.
Yeah. Well,
my God,
we see nothing from Trump as far as this is concerned. There were stories in the press, I think many of your listeners would be aware of, that right after he was elected, he had a meeting with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is a very vocal opponent of toxins in vaccines, and has written a great deal on the subject, and is head of the World Mercury Project now.
You're great sight. Yeah.
Yeah, terrific. And so Kennedy came out of that meeting and said to reporters that Trump was going to appoint a task force that he, Kennedy, would apparently lead to look into the whole vaccination issue, safety, because during the campaign, at one of the debates on television, several Republican candidates, including Trump, mentioned that vaccines had dangers associated with them and should be looked into. And Trump himself said that from his own experience with friends, he thought that there was something that needed to be looked into as far as vaccine dangers and autism and so forth. So there was a lot of optimism around that. Now, I don't know what Trump's timetable is. I don't know whether he knows what it is. But really, since then, we've heard nothing from him, from the White House, from anybody in his administration about this issue. So I'm not holding out hope that he's going to launch an investigation. Although, you know, I'll say you never can tell. Maybe all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he'll do that. I don't know. But it's not something that you can sit back and wait around for, confident that it's going to happen. So the answer is no. There's been no movement in government to do anything about this incredible corruption.
See.
There's been nothing in major media in the way of an investigation. Zero. And there are many ways that editors can get around doing it if reporters suggest it. They can say, well, how are you going to prove that Gerberding was aware of Thompson and what he did, if we even believe Thompson? How are you going to prove that Gerberding actively tried to suppress the truth about the MMR vaccine connection to autism? Yes, it's interesting that she left the CDC to go to Merck, but it's circumstantial. We don't really have a smoking gun. That's what editors tend to say when they don't want to cover a story. But in fact, the whole point of an investigation in journalism is you have some facts, you have laid a certain amount of groundwork, common sense tells you that there's something here that needs to be investigated deeply, and it's going to take time. And then an honest and honorable editor would give a green light to his reporter or reporters, and he would say, go to it. This is, in fact, what the Washington Post did recently when they published a blockbuster article on the opioid epidemic in the United States and how Congress had passed a law in 2016, which Obama signed, that made it far more difficult for law enforcement in America to arrest and prosecute pharmaceutical companies that traffic in opioid pills, not supply doctors who give them to patients who really need them, but traffic illegally in opioids. The Drug Enforcement Administration in America is extremely aware that this practice has been going on, and it has launched actions against a couple of pharmaceutical companies, but there are more. And now the DEA is hamstrung because of this law that introduces all kinds of conditions and legalities and opportunities for stalling and postponement before the DEA can march into a big pharmaceutical company and make arrests and freeze the shipments of opioids. So the Washington Post exposed all of this. Well, how long do you think it took them to do this? It wasn't just a two-day story. They paid reporters to go on a lengthy investigation and ferret out all this information and much more in the article. And I believe they even followed up with another one or two articles. So they have the resources, they have the willpower when it suits them, but when it doesn't suit them, then they make all kinds of excuses. Well, we don't really think there's a story here, we can't prove anything. They could have said the same thing to the reporters who wanted to dig into the opioid epidemic, and they could have shelved that story, but they didn't. They went with it. So why not this story about vaccines? Well, because vaccines are the holy grail of the medical profession.
Mm-hmm.
This is the thing that mm-hmm. must not be disturbed, must not be attacked, must not be exposed. This is one of the very basic pillars of modern medicine, which, if exposed with the truth, would shake the core of the entire pharmaceutical and medical establishment, not just about vaccines. It's one of those stories where so many people have been brainwashed into believing that vaccines are miraculous, that vaccines are safe and effective, and that rarely does anything go wrong. And for decades and decades, we've been getting stories and interviews and books and documentaries and so forth on the history of vaccination, and have been conditioned to believe that this is one of the great intellectual and humanitarian contributions in human history. So those are the stakes in the game if suddenly the truth came out. And following up this story about Thompson and Gerberding and the MMR vaccine and so on would lift enough of the cover off of the lies to show people enough truth that they would really be alarmed, really be alarmed. And then when stories like that appear in the mainstream, they have a way of snowballing. One of the next dominoes to fall would be the fact that the CDC buys and sells about $4 billion worth of vaccines a year, and yet at the same time is in charge of doing studies that test the safety and effectiveness of vaccines, which is such a ridiculous conflict of interest at the core that nobody has any reason to believe any of the studies that the CDC turns out, because they operate like a corporation. They're buying and selling the same products that they are swearing are safe and effective. Well, what do you expect? Do you expect them to turn around and suddenly say, well, we've been selling poison all these years, billions and billions of dollars, and damaging who knows how many children and destroying their lives? That might come out. And then, you know, what would be the next domino? It turns out that every year, the overwhelming majority of people who are diagnosed with the flu don't really have the flu. There is no evidence of any flu virus doing any damage in their system when they run blood tests. So therefore, even if you believe that the flu vaccine is safe and effective, for the overwhelming number of people, there would be no reason to get it because they never really had the flu in the first place. They merely had symptoms that looked like the flu, but came from a variety of different sources. That domino might fall, and you would be off and running at the races suddenly. And this is why you don't see any investigation of any depth into vaccines and vaccination in the major press. And this is one reason why independent media are under attack and censorship. Because one of the things, among many, that independent media do is expose the truth about vaccines. And it's been so ever since the internet came online. There have been people out there, some of whom are researchers and reporters, independent, who have been itching to show the public the truth about vaccines. And as soon as the internet appeared, these people got busy, very busy. And I know that from my own experience. A book that I wrote in 1988 called AIDS Inc. devoted a large chapter to vaccines as a cause of immune system suppression, which is supposed to be one of the, or the hallmark of AIDS. And I delivered a whole number of quotes from various authors about disastrous vaccine events and so on and so forth. And at that time, of course, there was no internet. But the book did get out, and it alerted many people, and I gave talks, and some of those talks were taped, and the tapes got around. And, of course, I was hoping that eventually I would find a wider audience to get the information out. And when the internet appeared, and I became convinced that this was, you know, real and here to stay, I jumped in and soon enough began writing articles about vaccines and talking about it. So this is one of the reasons that independent media are being censored, because it may not be apparent to some listeners, but when you expose one of the fundamental and basic pillars of society and civilization that's been assumed to be a very positive force for good, and most people believe in it automatically, and you show that the truth is quite the opposite, you are now instigating a kind of a revolution of understanding and thought and belief in the public. Because this, like I've been illustrating, is contagious. Once you expose this, what else are people going to stop believing in that they've been conditioned to believe? This is what independent media are all about. So, what appears to be a single story about Julie Gerberding and William Thompson and the CDC and the MMR vaccine and the documentary Vaxxed is really just the beginning of a massive outbreak of the truth.
That's right. Yeah, I think so. And Yeah, I was just going, I have a Facebook page called Provax Lies that I set up years ago, a couple of years ago, and I kind of forgot about it. And then I started, gave it a facelift, and I just put, it's just a place to put all this kind of information regarding vaccines into. And Facebook, John, been just so huge, getting all this sharing, all this vaccine damage news that's coming out of the mainstream media in America and around, and some of it just is unbelievable, you know. It's just absolutely incredible, all these kids being damaged, and as we have in Australia, you know, parents, they're not anti-vaxxers. They went and they vaccinated their children. They did what they were told to do. And they were given the information at the time when they vaccinated, and their children, copped a vaccine injury, adverse reaction, autism, whatever it may be. And these parents are looking after them, and they're called anti-vaxxers by this disgusting media in this country, and attacked, you know, for saying anything. But the vaccine damage is unbelievable. I was just looking one here. NBC News Channel, a father, Ben Zeller, took his healthy 11-month-old in, received the MMR, and had febrile seizures. It was a direct reaction and proven in court. That was unbelievable. And I just some days can't get to the bottom of all the damage that's happening that the media tell you, and the government tell you that it's one in a billion. You know, it's so rare, you know, it's just it hardly ever happens. But all this vaccine damage, they just never, ever report on it. I mean, you do get some overseas, you know, being in Australia, it's a bubble, John. I mean, you know, we've got overseas newspapers reporting on some of this stuff, at least. They're doing the job of the Australian media refuse to do. But it's absolutely amazing to me how they can just keep pushing these vaccines onto our children and flu shots when we've got so much damage happening at the same time, and just completely, totally ignore it. And then, you know, when you put into this the CDC information, I put up a article from Natural News a while ago that CDC is a vaccine company, owns 56 vaccines, an incredible conflict of interest. It was very popular. And also this kind of military ties. I don't know if you know much about that, that the CDC seemed to have to the military in the United States. Seems a bit creepy. A lot of people didn't seem to know that.
I do know something about that.
I put an article up about the black fella that went missing, which I don't know a lot about, over your way. And he was dressed, a few of them you can see they're dressed in military outfits. And a lot of people picked that up and thought, the CDC, military, what's going on there, John?
Yes, well, they're not under the Pentagon as such, but they do have a history of being a military organization. How that began, I'm sure you can look it up and find out. But when in 1987, 88, when I was writing my book, first book, AIDS, Inc., and I don't remember exactly why I started down this track, but I spoke with somebody at a federal government agency in the U.S. who was in personnel, maybe at the CDC, maybe it was another agency, and I was talking to them about security classifications. You know, for example, and a person who works at the Pentagon will have a certain level of security classification that allows them access to certain data, but they can't see anything else. And then above that, you have a higher classification. It's the same, I'm sure, in Australia. You have access to more, and you go up the ladder with higher classifications. So I said something like, do people at the CDC have higher classifications? Some of them. And we kind of went around and around on that, and he finally admitted it was the case. And then he said, well, you know, they send a certain number of people to the CIA for training, and they come back with higher security classifications. I said, really? He said, yes, higher classifications. What's that all about? Well, one of the things that I discovered, and I've written about this before, is that, and this may account for part of the reason that the CDC looks like a military organization, is they have something called the Epidemic Intelligence Service, EIS. This was started a long time ago, and the idea was to train doctors on an ongoing basis so that anytime there was an outbreak in the United States or elsewhere in the world, the CDC could rush these doctors and researchers to the scene to figure out what's going on. And that would include doing research to see what virus was suddenly causing illness, because these doctors are all trained to be virus hunters, which means, for example, that you could have a situation somewhere in the world where there is a chemical spill from a factory that nobody knows about, except a few people. Maybe it's a effluent from the factory that's being pumped out for decades. Who knows? And of course, people are getting ill and they're dying. And the Epidemic Intelligence Service would go in there with a predetermined point of view that they were going to look for an illness caused by a virus, and they would find the virus and identify it and develop a vaccine against it or a drug against it or whatever, which would be totally false. It would be a lie. It would be a cover story meant to obscure the fact that what was really going on was toxic chemicals in the environment. So, Epidemic Intelligence Service, does that sound like a purely medical operation? No, it sounds like intelligence agency. It sounds service, has a sort of ring of military. Epidemic Intelligence Service. And in conjunction with what I'm saying here, I wanted to point out, I know we don't have too much time left, but the whole question of autism, to begin with, is misunderstood. It's labeled autism as a disease, okay? And we have, quote, researchers trying to discover the cause of the disease, end quote. And this is all very familiar language to the public. They've been trained in it for a long time. And so they assume that it is a disease, and that simply the cause has not yet been found, but researchers are working day and night to discover it, right? But we also have vast evidence that many, 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 many cases of what's being called autism is caused by vaccine damage. But you see, that's not a disease. If somebody comes up to you on the street and injects you with toxic substances like aluminum, formaldehyde, and yes, even mercury that are contained in vaccines, and you fall down in the street, and an investigation follows, nobody is going to say that you have a disease. They're going to say a crime was committed. Somebody injected you with toxic chemicals, right? Well, that is exactly what's been happening for decades now with vaccines and with vaccine damage. So, for all of those cases of what's being called autism that are caused or that are really vaccine damage, why not just call it vaccine damage? Well, the answer is obvious, because then it would expose the whole show. So it has to be called something else, which in this case is autism. And then we have to be told that doctors and researchers are tirelessly trying to figure out the cause of autism, and that they believe it's genetic, and one day they will find the gene that's responsible, and with genetic engineering, someday they'll be able to knock it out and nobody will have autism anymore. And all of this preposterous propaganda. People have to understand that one of the functions of so-called medical research is to provide cover stories for what is making people sick and killing people that has nothing to do with, quote, disease. That, I hope, people will understand and begin to think about after they hear this broadcast, because it's very, very important to understand this.
That's right. Yeah. Well, it was Gulf War syndrome, anthrax vaccines, your troops over there in the US being experimented on as well, FDA involved, you know, saved a lot of that. There was movies made on it. They're saying 30% of US military damaged by anthrax vaccine, you know, and then they called it this Gulf War syndrome. So there you have ties straight away, and it's amazing. And I didn't let them, just off topic a little bit, John, we've got about under 10 minutes, but I didn't let them take the blood sample of my child when she was born. They take a blood prick test, and because I was reading some things, I don't have it in front of me, but there was evidently some cases in the US in Texas or somewhere where those samples were ending up in military facilities for testing or something like that. I don't know if that's true, but I said no, just on privacy, for my privacy, because it gets stored at the hospital or an area somewhere, and then you don't know where the blood of your children are going. And that's what I read. It was somewhere, and I saved it. I can't find it, but it was something about that, about blood sample testing from newborns, from families over there in the US, and they were finding out, tracking them, and they were going to some type of facilities like that. And I wonder why they're testing blood. There's some kind of deep involvement there. I mean, that just spooked me enough to say absolutely no, 100%. But they, you know, you have that as well with the them pushing the troops who were going over to these countries, you know, to get vaccinated, and they're becoming sick and they're making up names for it. That was a whole nother thing. So, you know, very frightening indeed. But, you know, I say the involvement is very strong, and I wonder what they're doing with children's blood and what kind of vaccines they're developing. I did hear you say, which is a whole nother show, these new generation DNA vaccines that are coming. Perhaps we can do a show on that as well sometime. But, you know, they're still going full bore, and in the last 5 minutes, I'll mention this article. This was from March 21st, 2018. CDC Vaccine Science Covers Up Giant Conflicts of Interest. This was one of your articles that was very popular. And you're talking here about, you know, if you wanted to buy a product and the main researcher of the product was the company selling it to you, would you automatically assume the product was safe and effective? We have this going on with the CDC all the time. And this was a great article sort of explaining this to people, because, you know, if you have a problem with vaccines, or you're a concerned parent or whatever it is in Australia, whatever it may be, you go on and ask questions, or you go to these government vaccination, pro-vaccination pages, asking questions, they'll always direct you back to the same information. And of course, you say here, the company's research was cited thousands of times in the press, as we know, as this authoritative sort of standard of proof, and anyone who disputes it is a crazy conspiracy theorist. So you get this as well. You're a lunatic if you say anything against these vaccines, because this is gold standard research and study coming out of the CDC, and they know better, and that's it. So this is what we're always pointed back to, and that's why I thought this was such an important article. Because you say this about CDC, their research, their data being gold standard. And this is the way it's always been. And you say here, do you think under any circumstances the CDC would publish data showing vaccines are ineffective and dangerous? They would be cutting their own throats. But how do we get this out to the public, John? It's like asking a McDonald's representative if their food is safe, or a used car salesman, you know, should I buy this car? Do you think it's any good? I mean, what else are they going to say? But it's just incredible what's going on. And we have flu shot vaccine injuries, severe injuries in Australia, of children that have come out in the media. Absolute brain damage in a wheelchair for the rest of their lives. I mean, little healthy children playing, running around, going in for a flu shot and just, you know, being annihilated by these things. And you've still got people lining up for them. And these people are so strict in ways, John, about their health. You know, they buy only organic, they get organic nappies for their children, they make sure everything's clean, they filter their water, they jog every day, but they'll blindly go in and walk into that doctor, that hole in the doctor's office, and get vaccinated, or go to a pharmacy and get vaccinated with a flu shot. They'll bring their kids in as well, because that gold standard of research from the CDC is always pumped by the government and the media, and it's always in the papers. And okay, there's injuries, but look, you know, the CDC do this gold standard, you know, incredible research, and it's all been done before. We don't really need to talk about it. That's one in a million injury. Keep getting vaccinated. I don't know how we can get it out to the public, John. I have a couple of minutes, but I don't know what to do here. How you can? Hopefully, people are waking up. I know a lot of people in Australia are refusing this flu shot now because they're getting spooked, because they are getting access to information, alternative information, over via the internet. So that is a good thing. I'm happy to have seen that, but it's an amazing thing, you know, and so I will republish your article on this because it's important, you know.
Yes, I agree with everything you're saying. The battle, the campaign, the truth, how does it work? You know, I could talk for hours about it, but yeah, in a few seconds, it works by spreading. That's how it works. And when it spreads, not everybody will see it or believe it or accept it, but some people will. And they will spread more to other people. And we just have to keep going and using the knowledge that we gain from our investigations and research and so forth to make our points and to save as many people as possible from the harm that they're ready to do to their own families. This is not like somebody, how can I put it? You know, there are people who are self-destructive. And if you go around the world and you try to save every self-destructive person, it's a ridiculous mission. You can't do it because the person is already tuned up to finding ways to destroy themselves. So I'm not talking about some kind of massive altruistic martyrdom here. What I'm talking about is people from whom the truth has been hidden, and they honestly believe, as far as they can believe, that they're doing the right thing by getting vaccinated and vaccinating their children. That's a whole different story. That's a whole different kind of corruption going on. And these people have to be awakened, but you can't snap your fingers and make it happen overnight. We just have to keep going. And so I try to make the very best case I can every time I write an article and back it up.
Absolutely.
And more and more, I think, of us in the independent media are doing that. And the job of people who see the truth in what we're doing. Their job is to spread the information.
That's right. We'll do our best, John, and keep going. Keep
Absolutely.
Pushing forward. Yeah, I guess you guys are the same, you know. You guys are relying on CDC information. That's what people decide. You know, they get that information at the doctor's office and they're told to vaccinate. And they're not seeing this what's going on behind the scenes here. So that's why I think your CDC articles are very popular. I know you pumped them out, so we'll just keep putting them up and keep sharing information and keep going. But I know a lot of people are getting access to this, so that's what we want. It's just absolutely rotten, and it just I shake my head. It gets to me, it does. It makes me angry, but I have to just sort of see through it and try and make it positive and keep going. And it just hurts you as a human being, John. It stabs you right in the heart when you see this stuff and the money these people making. They're just the money changing their grubby hands, and they're just ghouls, you know, absolute ghouls. What's going on? I just can't believe human beings are acting this crazy and like this. You know, it amazes me, John. It upsets me really much. But we keep going, keep pushing forward. And your articles are absolutely fantastic and necessary and vital and so popular here in Australia. People love them. And so thank you very much for every article that you write and allow me to share. They're so very important. And we will keep in contact and catch up again sometime soon for a chat.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Adam. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for your time, John.
You.
Take care.
Thank you. You too.